But we're gonna do our best. Or, you know, we're gonna do something. I'm not gonna say so. What else can I say?
Did you start it?
I pressed record just for funsies.
Welcome.
Welcome to another episode of Stay Rooted with your hosts, Stephanie and Lauren. Pull up a chair because you're attending the virtual mom support group.
Light your sage because we are going through it
and growing through it.
And we're always rooting for you.
See you there.
Boo. It's us again.
I'm over here like, do I have notes?
And I knew we were recording.
Are they in the phone?
I don't know where I am right now. I literally have walked in. You know Pigpen, like Charlie Brown?
Yes.
That's me right now. But instead of dirt around me, it's just everything inside my head just swirling around me. Like, that's just woo-hoo-hoo.
Yes, like Alice in Wonderland.
Literally
going
falling,
down the rabbit hole.
Spiraling.
I feel that in my soul.
With no blue dress. But
and with that, take it away.
Here we are.
Here we are.
And what I want to say is, welcome to season two of Stay Rooted.
This is season two of Stay Rooted.
We've been here a whole season.
It's sloppy, which feels on brand.
It does. But like, we just did a year of podcasting.
We did a whole year. And I feel as though we laugh at how messy we are and how fragmented we feel and how we always feel like we're chasing our tails. But like, we are still setting forth the accountability to chase our tails.
Yes.
And we have just a wee bit of time to chase our tails. So why not fucking chase our tails?
Why not? Sometimes it's nice, okay? And you guys keep listening, so we'll keep doing it and recording it.
So welcome to season two.
Welcome
it doesn't
back.
Have a name yet. Does season two have a name?
I don't know. Did season one have a name?
We'll be those parents that wait a few days.
Yeah, we got to get to know the season first.
We got to look at her face.
Yeah. Not quite sure yet what to call her, but we're here, and I feel like we haven't recorded in a while, and that feels very, like, present right now. Like, it just feels like we haven't sat down together, because Lauren and I did this thing that we have since vowed to never do again, which is to take...
She's gonna make me say that on the podcast.
Say it now here. With all of thy witnesses, we took vacations. I went like a civilized human being during the designated school break. And Lauren said, the second you get back, I'm going. And I was like, what the fuck?
I said, fuck a crowd.
Yeah.
I was like.
You really, truly did.
I looked at like the national school calendars and I was like, this is the week of April that nobody seems to have off.
You're like, let's do it. She's like, let's F around and find out.
And honestly, I have this weird alibi and like the public school can come for me because you know they are. But
knock it at your door.
I have this weird alibi that like. My child is in first grade, okay?
Yes.
You are doing sight words and colors, and it sounds like a lot of fucking videos, public school system. I'm coming for you. It sounds like a lot of screens. But that's what you're doing with them at that time,
yes.
Right? I mean, they are learning, like, shapes and, like, that sort of thing. But, like, you can do that out in the wild with
yes,
your child.
Absolutely. We've been kind of effing around lately. And against, you know, the rubric, we've been teaching our kid multiplication. Because our kid is just obsessed with numbers.
My kid is learning multiplication in first grade.
See, you're like, you know, maybe they are doing some things there.
But you know what? You know what? On the Disney bus on a Wednesday when my kid was supposed to be in school, she was showing me how she does multiplication
She's
with
like,
her fingers.
Four seats, 10 rows.
They do this crazy finger math now that
That's
like
That's the thing with math, and I think we can actually agree with like the generations before us and probably the generations to come is by the time you have kids, they change the math. Even though I'm pretty sure numbers are the only thing in the world that are very finite. Like, they're very, like, this plus this is this.
But honestly, as much as I love to be a boomer and complain about the math evolution, I love to be like, that fucking math. where's the
in
old
my
math?
Day,
I do think math is sort of
ones.
It's sort of a science, right? Like
yes.
we're figuring it out better. And if you think of it like if you think of numbers like on a I don't know, like molecules and like that sort of thing, like we're gonna keep breaking it down and find in having new breakthroughs.
Then
in
you know
that
what it really
science.
Needs to be is they need to have like a beginning of the year, parents, here's your cheat sheet. This is how we're mathing these days, because it's not your mother and father's math anymore. It's different.
Stephanie doesn't have the internet.
It's different.
She doesn't have a YouTube.
It's different.
She's like, what's the YouTube?
I'm literally, is that, like, I just can't. And every time it's different, Nora's like, that's not how we did it. And I'm like, well.
But yes, we were heathens and we took a week off and we got the packet of shame and we're going to fill it out and my kid's going to do fine, I'm sure.
She's going to be fine. But we started off with me going away. Out into the big
as
open
a civilized adult.
But like I left in kind of like a fragmented place because I had like Mags, my dog, in weird health. And then I had pierogi cheeks.
Yeah.
My chicken. And honestly, like, so one of the big things that I feel like we have been holding out from each other is that you watched my chickens for a week. You
I watched your chickens for a whole week.
Like, you have experience now.
I would do that for no one else.
You like
so
them a little, though.
Rudy's, don't ask me to watch your chickens.
She's saying
fuck that.
But one day, Lauren, because I got Cruise Wi-Fi.
I romanticized it like two out of the
six
lying. Days.
She's lying. She sent
Maybe
me one,
three.
And she had a chicken in a one-arm hold. And I was like, oh, she's comfy in this coop.
Well, one thing about me is that if I'm going to do something, I want to get good at it.
She's emerging.
And and if it's...
Emerging? Submerging?
I'm emerging. I'm submerging.
She's... Below the water.
Yeah.
With my chicken.
I'm emerging in the culture of your chickens.
Yes.
But yeah, so I just feel as though, like, I had to take on that responsibility fully, the way that I would take on watching somebody's dog or child.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is a living thing, and, like, I have to please it and, like, make sure that it lives its routine while its person is in here. But honestly, there was very little joy that came from the chickens for me.
I know. You came into
I did learn to manhandle them, but I mean, I manhandle grown adults.
One thing about me and my like chicken era is that I meal prepped for them. I was like, every day you will have a bag of specific food to give them so that they know I still love them. And I would put all different shit into a bag, label it Sunday through Monday through Tuesday. And I was like, these are for them. But right before we left, our dear beloved pierogi cheeks started getting sick. And
So then it was a chicken hospice.
It was a chicken hospice. And I told Lauren, I was like, I have done all I can for pierogi cheeks. I'm just not someone who can put her down. And so you are now going to just let her live out her hours, I thought, maybe.
And my husband, who I think just has seen Chicken Run.
That is his reference.
Which, honestly, my husband, as a farmer, very hot. Like
there's
rugged,
something...
like urban farmer.
Oh, she's back.
That's
on the
a
chicken
genre.
Boat.
That's a genre that I'd be into.
Kenny
like
just
a heavily
one chicken and she's
a heavily tattooed
farmer.
Man in overalls. I would be into that.
And she's back. Not about the fresh eggs for her. It never was.
But
it's about Kenny in overalls.
But Kenny in overalls doing his research via Chicken Run in the 90s is like, I would kill that chicken. And I'm like, would you?
Oh, and I know.
I'm like, because he wouldn't kill that stink bug. He's going to edit that out.
Oh,
but
no.
He wouldn't kill that stink bug.
And nor
he's like,
would I.
He's like, you know what? We should put pierogi out of her misery. And I'm
like,
I don't think you do. But like I told you, we thought she was going to live hours. You sent me those videos. I'm like, I'm not going to have to deal with this chicken.
I did not
She's
think
Ill.
She would see it to the day that I left.
You
like
know,
everything that I looked up was like, say goodbye.
I was giving her, her last sacrament. But then I feel as though once I saw her, she was like, she still had this will to
That's
live.
That's what I'm saying. Like she was like, oh, if you just lay me next to the food, I'll put my head in it and try to
eat. She was drinking the day before her passing. She was drinking water, just like only her neck moved.
I like honestly, like,
and I was like,
name a stronger being than pierogi cheeks. Like, can we just say, like, an
the
icon.
Day before that, though, I like Kenny filmed a very insensitive video of me.
Oh,
but, like making her walk around the yard, but I just wanted to let her have one more walk around the yard. And I didn't tell you till just now.
Oh my God. No.
It was a story about a girl named Lucky.
Stop it.
No.
No.
No, I forget what we were singing.
No.
But we were singing a song to her, but she was just like pretending to walk, but her head was held high in the
her
sky.
Her head was
like,
always held high because she had a thirst for life until it seemed her last. There was one time Lauren sent me a video because she would send me some updates because she knew I was worried, and I spend a significant amount of my free time with my chickens. Like, that's my happy place. One day, Lauren sent me a video, and I just looked at the still shot before I pressed it, and I was like, oh, she's sending me a video of my dead chicken. Of course, I click play, and there she is lifting her head to get a sip of water, still still living.
Yeah, like, and then I got to play the fun game every morning, like, is Pierogi Cheeks alive with my kids?
With my kids edition.
With my kids edition.
The circle of life.
I also...
Who needs school?
I one-upped this experience because during our break at home, during our regular break,
yes,
Lennon did zoo camp. So I was like, what a fun time. Like, we'll go play farmer
you
and then you'll...
We're doing
zoo camp,
a whole thing.
And we romanticized the shit out of being at your house.
Yes.
And taking care of the chickens and then her going to camp. And that worked very, very, like, well. But early mornings and Pierogi Cheek death watch. And every night, Auntie Dee would be like...
Oh, my God. So Dee Dee, the other co-sitter or co-parent of my chickens while I was away, who is like another mother
my
to me.
My chicken co-parent.
Your chicken co-parent.
Yeah,
she was doing the night shifts.
She's definitely your other mother. Yes. But yeah, she was doing the night shifts.
So you guys had a communication.
We would correspond, you know, and she... I left the eggs behind. She turned them into the most delicious deviled eggs.
And that...
So good.
I came home to a plate of deviled eggs in my fridge, and that was about all I had left in my fridge, and it was all I needed.
Yeah, she left me a tray, and then she left you a
tray.
It's
a beautiful thing.
And when I was grabbing the weird chicken bags you left me of, like, of various beans and salsa...
You're like, I need it here.
I was like, ooh, eggs.
Oh, gross.
But yeah, so we were corresponding, so every day I'd be like, oh, she's gonna be dead today. But my daughter has handled it so well. Like,
better than I would have.
Alaska would have picked her up if I allowed it. But Lennon
would have taken her home. Lennon took a nap with her.
Lennon was like, that chicken was very sick. She was very sick, and she's like, I bet you Nora's gonna be sad, but you know what? That chicken wasn't doing well.
She was not doing well. And poor Nora, when we got home, to fast forward to us coming home, I'm like, you know, I obviously knew about it because you had texted me, but I'm like, we just came home from a trip. I'm gonna, like, maybe wait till tomorrow. Like, maybe she
We're
won't notice.
We're still not telling people.
She comes out into the yard, Pierogi Cheeks. I'm like, fuck off. Like, I have the, you know, okay, we're doing this now. But in between all of the chicken stuff, I went on a cruise.
You did. I'm not done with your chicken
stuff
yet,
though. Okay, keep going, because I don't want to get into it then until you're done.
I have to say that with watching the chickens, I was like, this is a lot. This is an all-day affair.
Yeah.
But I found some just, like, some very simple things in your setup that worked. And of course, you left everything nicely set up. But then I was like, this girl has holes in her gloves.
I have so many gloves.
And then I was like, the first day, I'm like, this gate is ghetto. And, like, literally, like,
she's coming for
my chicken setup. Dee Dee literally just, like, her telepathy grabbed my thought. And she was like, this gate is ghetto. And then, bam, we had a new gate.
I came home and I walked past my coop. Felt like something was weird. Walked back to my coop and I was like, is that gate not... Am I home right now? Like, I was already in a weird mental place, and I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Then all of a sudden, I'm like, I did the math in my head, and I'm like, oh, Frank builds things. Dee Dee's husband, Frank. They built me a new gate.
They really did. And I was like, because the first gate was, like, held very safely shut by garbage bins.
I hate you so much.
This one has, like, 19
locks. I thought you were coming in to be like, this is so much work, Steph. Bravo! You do all of this and make it look easy. And she's like, your gate sucks. Your chicken was dying. And also,
no,
your chicken
snacks
are gross. No,
I'm getting to that part. I'm getting to that part.
Don't you dare cut that out, Kenny. Go
I'm
on.
Getting to
go
that
forgotten about the
maybe.
Game.
So
she adds it to her notes.
So I have a better gait. So I have a better attitude once yes. I know. But I'll say one thing is that I was going to say that you have to work no matter what your setup is. Those little fuckers, they don't give a shit. Like no. They are like, oh no, we suddenly fly 6 feet higher than we did the day before. And we're on the roof.
It's like you've seen the video of Gloria jumping off of the roof so majestically, like just flying off of my garage roof. Like these chickens are absolutely insane, and their physical capabilities far exceed their mental capabilities.
Yes. It's the same thing as a toddler. Like yeah, it's completely. A bunch of Alaskas running around.
Literally. That's exactly what it feels like. And they have like no arms, obviously. They're just legs. So they always kind of look like they're going to fall over. You know what I mean?
And they're always Alaska. Like, you have a lot of like tree and brush in your yard. And I feel like they're always just running at it, like in a way that feels like they're going to just be like impaled like all the time.
100%. And they might.
And then I do. The fond part about the chickens for me is that they started to follow me. And the reason that they started to follow me, and this is what I was going
to
say about you, okay?
Get to the niceties.
Before you got all testy because your gait sucked. Like, it's my fault.
Go ahead.
Is that the first time that I got them to follow me, I was listening to our podcast.
I was
screening one of our episodes.
Oh my god.
And I was like, you know what? And they could hear you. And I was like, what a good chicken mom Steph is. Like they're flocking to her. So then I started picking them up, and then I was like, we must buy you helmets. So,
I know. And that took me longer to find than the gate. Because
which I have regrets, because I have since found, once you buy chicken helmets,
now
the internet says there's other things for chickens.
They go, you need diapers.
There's other accessories.
Do you need a harness?
And they have like these little like wide-brimmed hats. Like they look like they're going to the Kentucky Derby.
Order 11.
And I feel like just calling them like girls, like with their little hats. Like, it was a missed opportunity.
Honestly,
because the helmets are ill-fitting.
And you have to admit, chicken content, like, in general, they are entertainers. They are born to be in the screen.
I have so much chicken content, but I didn't want
to
share it with you until we talked about chickens.
Well, I'm ready for it.
Here we are. Bok,
here
bok.
We are. But honestly,
but then you went on a cruise, and
I went on a cruise, and the cruise was very nice. And the chicken, you know, the chicken ketchup, I knew it was going to be a while because I was excited to hear about your experience. And I think there is something exciting about 10 small animals following you around the yard. You're just like, I am other mother now. You know?
And you saw my little Donnie. She was one with the chicken
coop.
She
is built for that life.
Literally, towards the end, I was like, we're going on vacation soon. Don't you get any weird chicken viruses? Get over here, because she was
100%.
Like, she was handsy with the chickens.
Oh, I'm sure.
Some of them were allowing it, because there's like a few of them that I feel like Gloria was my girl.
Gloria, though, I will say, since the passing of her beloved sister, Pierogi is on a war path right now. She's like, obviously, like, we understand her grievances, but, like, I go to touch her, and she's like, fuck off, Mom, leave me alone, you know?
Yeah, I felt like Lady Glitter Sparkle was very insensitive to the whole situation.
I can only imagine.
She probably didn't even send Gloria a card.
I can only imagine.
All right, and I want to say this, too. I was really sassy leading up to your cruise, because I was like, why the fuck are you going on a cruise, Stephanie?
Yeah, honestly, she's coming for me with the sass. Why would you do this? Why do you do that?
But I was trying to reel back. Because I was like, you are going on a cruise. But I was like, you're going on a cruise?
Yeah,
but you had such a nice time.
I did.
Tell the people.
I'm going to tell the people. So I had a beautiful time. First of all, I think I might have mentioned this, but we had like a large group of us go. Like, I'm talking both of my sisters and their families, both of my parents, like, and then their extended friends and family. So like, it was a cool setup because it's not like 24 people are going to spend, you know, the week together.
Yeah.
But it was just kind of cool that like when you would go to like, you know, Spinnaker's, that you were gonna bump into somebody that you knew there. And there was just like this like comfortability. But I will say, going into the cruise, I had obviously a layer of anxiety, mostly about Lukey, because obviously like changing the routine, the movement, you know, the water, the great open sea, and all of those intrusive thoughts that come along with that. Like, I was just...
The Moana intrusive thoughts.
He is Moana. The water calls him. So I'm like, in my mind leading up to it, the week before specifically, it wasn't until maybe the day before that I really got excited, because I was just so nervous about it and like what it was going to look like and if I was going to feel like it was a safe situation. And like, obviously, having so many people around, I'm just worrying about Lukey being passed around and just all of the things.
But you put all your Shein bags in a bigger bag and you got on that boat.
And let me just say, Shein, she did what she did, because Lukey went onto that boat and like everybody looked cute, but that boy came with like the sets, and I was patting myself on the back, because everywhere he went, everybody was like, he looks so cute. And I was like, I know, I'll send you the link. But we went on the cruise, obviously, and Lukey, I cannot say like enough, he probably did the best out of the four of us. Like, he
checks out.
The movement of the boat, I actually think he found soothing.
Probably.
And it was just this whole thing where he was living his best life every day.
Fun fact, I fall asleep on a boat.
He is you. Like, the all-you-can-eat buffet for a picky eater.
Oh, yeah. Those french fries, just keep them
french
coming.
French fries always. Spaghetti always. So, like, I will say, like, soon I started to relax. But I did have moments of, like, freaking out. Like, I think, like, on our vacations, like, we're gonna share the pictures of us in, like, the sexy cave.
I'm not gonna share a picture of me fighting my husband. I know we want to be real.
30 seconds later, if we're smiling, sure. But, like, I'm not sending the picture. Let me paint a picture of the picture I never took, okay?
Yeah, you know I'm fighting with my husband.
Of course.
Like, you want me to make it the caption?
I made it clear. Like, we can't go to Animal Kingdom. The Bartholomews can't go. So,
enjoy this one sweet photo of my family.
You're sweating.
Don't act like I'm faking it.
Yeah, don't you dare. This is, the Magic Kingdom is ours.
The sweat is authentic.
It is. So, you know, I'm having a moment, and my family obviously knows I have the little kids. Like, my sister, Carrie, she has teenagers. Like, they can stay out late. They can do their thing.
And that's hard, because as much as you don't want to feel, you feel like the spectacle, right?
Yes.
Like, you feel like you are the traveling
and
show
also, like,
when you have the little ones.
Like, in a way, you limit people, because, like, when they're creating plans, they're also thinking about what that's going to look like for you.
And when you roll into the plans, you're like,
break something and cry.
Yeah, you're like, you thought this was going to be nice.
So it's like this whole bit, you know, like whenever the Bartholomew show up. So like, I keep that in mind. But one of the first nights, like my sister, she has her two older kids who, my niece and nephew are like my favorite humans. They are good kids, and I love them to death. And they are trustworthy. They are everything that you would want a babysitter to be. And my sister was like, hey, why don't we put the two, you know, Nora and Lukey in the room with the kids? You and Luke come out with us for a little bit. And, you know, when we need to go back, you know, we'll go back. That is obviously a totally doable thing. My issue was that they had a balcony, and my intrusive brain could not fucking let it go. Okay. It could not stop creating scenarios. So I am having a full meltdown.
I've already created like 25.
Just while I'm talking. So then let's compact that. And my nephew is sitting right in front of the door. He is 17 years old, a whole man, 16, 17, whatever. He's a man. And he's sitting there like the sweetest boy, like nothing will happen, blah, blah, blah. And I trust him. And I know he's probably right, but my brain could not compute it, and it got to the fact where, like, or to the point where I was spiraling so much that, like, my brother-in-law and my sister and Luke, they were like, you know what? Why don't we pile these 100-pound four suitcases that we have neatly over here, put away in closets? We're gonna barricade
They wanted you to go out so bad.
And they literally sat there while I was like having my panique, and they stacked 200 pounds of suitcases in front of the door for me so that me and my husband could go out with my family and like have an hour of time. And like, that makes me emotional, because like, I am, you know, when I get in my head about something, it's really hard to get out of there.
Yeah.
And, like, they pulled me out, and, like, that was the moment where I was like, you know, in many moments, but you're like, these people fucking get me, you know?
Absolutely.
These are my family. We are a walking this extended Carter family is a walking circus in itself.
Yeah.
Like, we bring attention. We're large and loud and chaotic. But, like, at our core, we are just so fucking, like, love each other and we'll do anything for each other. And, like, that was one of those moments that I, like, really want to bring up because it felt, like, very significant to me. And, like, it just, it made a big difference. But
did you start to worry about the suitcases falling on your kids?
100%.
By the time you got to the lobby. But you're like, those fucking suitcases are going to fall on them. Like,
they're not going to fall off the boat, but what if that falls on them? So, you know, I love that, though.
That's awesome. And just, like, being there and, like, validating your feelings in that way is sometimes just enough for you to get out of your own head.
Like, you're not crazy. Like, I see why you could get there, you know? And, like, it meant a lot. But I will say the funny thing about a cruise that I really enjoy is that, like, and probably resorts too, but I think you see it a lot on the cruises, when at any given moment, like at 6 or 7 p.m., you're either walking by someone in a dripping bathing suit or a gown.
And
what planet am I on right now? Like, this person has, like, cheese fries from the pool, and this person is dressed up taking formal photos. Mm-hmm.
Dinner is such a mixed bag on a cruise.
It's such a mixed bag. And honestly, like, the people watching on a ship, I think, is, like, potentially unmatched. Like, it might be some of the best people watching I've ever had. So every night, my husband would be a saint, and he would go to bed earlier than me. He's an earlier kind of sleep guy, but also, like, I don't get to be with my whole family and both of my sisters often, and I think he really wanted me to, like, enjoy that. So, like, every night we would wind up going to, you know, the cruise club, which is just, like, a place where, like, people from the ages of 18 to 79 go and, like, do a little boogie.
Yeah, there's only so many venues.
So, you know, this is the one that we landed on. It's called Bliss.
And
the funniest part for me was hearing my six-year-old
She sounds like a, like, mid-price fragrance.
My six-year-old being like, when are we going to Bliss tonight?
You're like, you're not going to Bliss tonight.
And I'll get to that later because that girl went to Bliss. And I will, but at night we would go there, and we weren't the only ones that were going there every night. There were other characters going. And me and my sisters every night would sit back, you know, at the one of those little couches in the back, and we would just watch that dance floor, because if there's anything about me, I'm gonna judge you while you're dancing. I know we say we're not supposed to.
Oh my goodness, you're not gonna get out there and dance?
Of course I dance if it calls to me, but if I'm sitting there watching you, I'm absolutely thinking about it.
Oh yeah.
Like, could not think about
it. But I think I'm just judging you in, like,
a fun way.
A creative director kind of way.
I guess, maybe. But we're sitting there, and there was this one man who I will say was the biggest leader in my, like, you know, cruise fan fiction. And we called him Gary because he reminded us of the Golden Bachelor.
Was he out there alone?
Oh.
Looking for love on the open seas.
Well, wasn't he? The thing about Gary was that night one when we saw him, he was making out with a lady, let's call her Teresa. Okay? And then the next night, he's out there with April.
Oh my goodness.
And this man was not just going for women of, like, his age range. There was a time when there were these two beautiful, like, 20, 30-year-old girls out there just dancing together, having them time. And here comes Gary with his gangly arms. And he is, like, picture, like, cruise Gary. Like, he's got a polo on. His legs are very
Norwegian
Gary. And he's up there with these arms like this. And I'm getting mad. I'm like, leave these girls alone, Gary. To a point where, like, we had this running joke where anytime I would see Gary, who had no idea who I was because I was always sitting behind him, and anytime I would see him on the cruise, I would just, in, like, the light of day, I would just give him a long stare. I'd be like, I know what you did last night, Gary. But then there are other side characters. Like, there was Splits. There was Bodycon BB. Bodycon BB wasn't afraid to, like, bend it over and dump it back. Like, Bodycon BB put on a show.
I love that.
You know? And there were just all these people.
You didn't befriend her?
No. I could not hang.
Tell me more.
I could not hang with Bodycon BB. And she wouldn't have even have known I was there. She was not. I don't think I saw her after the third night. Like, she was gone. But that was really fun to me. I will say, when we were on the island, we went to Bermuda. My favorite part, hands down, I will say, was the cave. This was the thing that, like, I had said, like, this is what I want to do.
Mixed reviews on the caves.
So the cave, I had done a little research on the cave with Cruise Wi-Fi, and it said a 10-minute bus, no big deal. 10 minutes. You know, you go there, you look at a cave.
Everybody's 10 minutes is different.
So everybody, we're like, okay. So, you know that thing where if you've ever gone to, like, a cruise stop, you know, there's buses there. They're ready to pick you up and charge you money to take you somewhere.
Yep.
So we're like, we're going to the caves, you know? And somebody's like, okay, $7 a person. We're like, that sounds great, you know? And then we get in the bus, all seated up, all, you know, 18 of us in our, like, you know, clown gear.
I honestly hate a vacation bus.
Like, I know, because there's something just, you're at so, their whim.
There's something so just you're like...
You have no control.
No control. You're just like, I just put my family on this no fucking bus.
No phone service.
And I paid them money to do it.
And then you get on the bus and they go, by $7, we meant $14. But then you need to get back. And that's another... and now it's $30 a person. And oh, wait. It's not 10 minutes to get there. It's 45. And the bus is moving already.
Yeah.
And everybody's face kind of changes, and the cave was my idea, and all of a sudden it was just all too much. And I had my second panic attack.
Let down everyone.
I'm giving the Rudies, if you're listening, like, you can hear how fragile of a human I truly am. So, but I will say we got there, and there were two different caves. We were going to originally see both, but one had, like, a longer wait time, so we ended up going to the other one, which actually was perfect because it ended up just being the people, like, in my family that went, and it was just us in there, which was, like, really cool. And
that
the story
cool.
about this cave that we went to is that these boys, I think, like, over 100 years ago, were playing cricket and their ball fell into a hole. They went to go get it and these crazy boys climbed down and it was a fucking cave. And this thing is huge. And, like, we're going down stairs that have been since built into it. Like,
yeah.
So I, like, really like a, like, natural exhibit and, like, learning about something. Like, that interests me, like, seeing it and learning about it. So the person that was kind of giving us, like, the rundown of the cave was like, I want to show you what it looked like when these boys found it. So we stand on this one spot. He turns out all of the things and all you can see is, like, a dot at the top where the sun could have come through and where they climbed in and found this thing. And it was just, like, mind-blowing to see. But then the most effed up part of it all, justice for the cave boys, is these boys found this cave, right?
Yes.
This beautiful cave.
Did they live? Well, they lived.
They
right?
lived.
Because they showed other people.
But the cave was on the land of someone else's, and they now own the cave and all of the cave revenue, and the boys got nothing for it.
That's annoying.
So justice for the cave boys.
The cave boys need justice.
Yes, but we did some
Somebody
beaches.
Represent
we
them.
We did, like, we did a whole bunch of things on the island that were fun.
I know, your beach pictures
we went to a beautiful beach,
beautiful.
Which was...
Your daughter said that the water was, like, blue jello.
It literally, like, when we pulled up to Bermuda and walked out, I was, like, taken aback. Like, there's something about, like, a natural something in a bright color that really does something for my brain, and seeing blue water that does not look like it wasn't our Atlantic, it was a different Atlantic.
Yeah.
And it was really beautiful and it was very cool. But I want to say one more thing about the cruise that happened. And so every night they would do karaoke. It's like textbook cruise, you know?
And when you said cruise karaoke, I was like, I know.
You're
I've
like,
been
I'm,
there, I've done that.
I'm a cruise,
I know
yes,
it.
I've been a cruise gal. So, you know, Nora's very interested in singing, but she's also 6 years old. And, like, that's a lot on
yeah.
a cruise. But this girl was determined to go up. So the first time she went up, I went up with her, and we did a classic. Well, no, first, actually, she went up with her cousin, but I'm mixing it up. Doesn't matter. She went up with me, and we did This Is What Dreams Are Made Of, the Lizzie McGuire
Aww.
Movie song, and it was a whole moment, and...
You sent me the video, I think.
Yes.
It was cute.
Nora's the kind of kid that inspired me to get up there because it would never have been by my own choice to do that. But the part that was most impressive of our karaoke journey is that the second to last night, the cruise ship hosted the coveted award of karaoke idol. And
Ooh.
There could only be 8 people in karaoke idol. I don't know if you know that.
Oh.
So
there was a, like, elimination round?
There was just a limited amount of spots. So I want to say my nephew or my brother-in-law went over there, got a spot in line for Nora so that she could be in it because she decided that she was going to enter into it and sing by herself.
I love that. I love that energy.
She went on stage.
She's my daughter.
She literally is a Lauren. She went on stage in her Doc Martens that her mother could never own. Went
that
up
I
there,
own.
Literally the same. Like, she is Lauren. Went up there, sang her little heart out to Let It Go. And guess what? This girl won Karaoke Idol.
I'm so freaking proud of her.
And I will say, like, it came down to the audience. It was the audience's decision. And I will say there was no contest. There was absolutely no contest.
Well, anyone that would contest would be an absolute asshole.
They would.
Because
there was this really sweet woman who sang very well. She was probably in her 30s or 40s. And she sang Rumor Has It, which is a great song, a great karaoke song.
Yeah.
And she comes over and she goes, I knew she had it. I knew she had it. And I was like, I love you so much.
I love that. I love that for Nora. She was so proud to tell us.
She was. Like, we could not keep that a secret from
you. I threw it in my family group chat.
Yeah,
I was
like, it's like,
you guys gotta know.
That you gotta know.
And like, as a family of cruisers, like, we know
you
karaoke.
Know, you've been to karaoke
on a cruise. And then we also know, like, a piano bar. You know, there's always a piano
there's
bar.
There's always some swanky little music going on. And, like, there's so many stories that I want to tell, but, like, honestly, some of them have just escaped me because I can't think of them all. But one thing I want to say is, like, the come down after a vacation is just so shitty. Like, it's just the post-vacation thing is just, like, the worst. And then on top of that, it's, like, my older sister lives in Florida, so having the normalcy of just, like, being, like, the way the crew set this up, me, Courtney, and Carrie had rooms that triangled one another. So me and Courtney were next to each other and Carrie was right across.
I love
and
that.
It was like we were living together and it was just like one of those things that you're like, you know, this is a really cool moment for us. And I feel like we made the most of the trip and I really had a great time.
I love that.
Yeah. Thanks for attending our virtual mom support group with Stephanie
and Lauren. Pull up a chair, light the sage. We are going through it.
And growing through it.
And we're always rooting for you.
One of the big things that I feel like we have been holding out from each other is that you watched my chickens for a week.
I watched your chickens for a whole week.
Like, you have experience now.
I would do that for no one else.